This morning is a very, very special time because we are going to be looking at mothers. And we've begun last week looking together at the fact that when we tell people, let me tell you about my church, one of the things we want to talk about is in my church, we grow godly families. And that's one of the commitments we have made together as a church is this is going to be a place where godly families gather. This is going to be a place where Christ is honored and where parents show the example and where children follow God's way and where we teach families and guide families and love families and encourage families of all kinds to walk and follow Jesus. And this year, I'm doing that through the Gospels, through the stories of Jesus and those times when we see mothers and parents and children and fathers who are involved in learning in all kinds of ways. This is how you grow a godly family. And on Mother's Day, when I think about mothers, I can't think of anybody more important than Mary, the mother of Jesus. You know, a lot of times we forget all about Mary except during the Christmas season. We learn about that virgin who was chosen by God to give birth to the Son of God. And we learn about the journey to Bethlehem and the birth of Jesus. And then we kind of put Mary to the side for a while. But there's some things we can learn from that woman about how to be a godly mom that I really want us to learn today. And particularly this morning, I want us to look together at that incident that we read together just a few moments ago. The wedding at Cana. The wedding at Cana is found in the second chapter of the Gospel of John. It's very important because in John's Gospel, the wedding at Cana is the very first miracle that Jesus performed. It is the first time that Jesus shows the sign that he is bringing the new wine of the Gospel into the world. That things are going to be different from now on, and it's going to be a whole new world. But in the midst of that, there's an interaction between Mary and Jesus that reminds us of what it means to be a godly mom, of what you as mothers today can do, what all of us can do when we encounter situations, challenges, opportunities, obstacles, tragedies, needs, joys. In every situation of life, we can follow the example that we see in Mary at the wedding of Cana. So this morning, I wanted you to walk with me, and we're going to walk through together what Mary shows us about how a mother can guide her family to be everything the Lord wants it to be. So join me as we go to Cana together, and we're going to discover some very special things out of this first miracle. And the first thing you see when you look at the wedding of Cana is simply this. Mary identified the need. The Bible says, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Somehow in the midst of all of the people who are gathered in that wedding, it is Mary who is the first one who recognizes we've got a problem at this wedding. She notices that the supply is being depleted and nobody else is paying attention to that issue, but Mary already knew what other people would only learn later. There was a very real need. Isn't that just like a mother? Moms are just designed to notice things. Mothers notice things before anybody else is ever paying attention. And they're already making plans as to how are we going to deal with this situation. How do I know that's true? How many times, young men, have you said, oh man, I am in so much trouble. I came in yesterday after practice and I meant to get my uniform clean and ready to go and I just threw it down on the floor and I forgot all about it. And now look, it's almost time to go to practice and my stuff's still dirty. And you walk in the room and what's happened? It's washed, it's clean, it's folded, it's ready to go. Why? Because mom noticed what had to be done. How many times have you found yourself getting to school and all of a sudden you realize I left my report sitting on the counter? And if I don't get it turned in today, I'm in real trouble and you're trying to figure out what am I going to do? And about that time, who walks in the door with that report? And the thing that makes it so tough is she walks in with that report, the one that she said, have you got your report? Did you put your report away? Are you sure you have your report? And then here she comes, saving the day one more time. Moms know when you've had a fight with your best friend, when your heart's been broken, when you're up to bat, when you need a hug. Moms know when it's time to do something special, to take a daughter out for a mother-daughter lunch together. Moms just know. How do they know? Because mothers pay attention. Now, dads, not always so much. Dad, you remember when I told you about so-and-so, you know, while you were watching television? No. Wasn't paying attention. But moms pay attention. One of the things that always amazes me about mothers and their babies, Christian, is that mothers are incredible when a baby is crying. Not only can you be in your child be in a group of babies and you know, that's my child, but you also know what each one of those cries means. It means I'm hungry. It means I'm sleepy. It means I'm sad. It means I'm happy. It means I'm interested. Sometimes it just means I want a little attention here. And somehow or another, mothers recognize not just that's my child, but this is what my child is saying to me. And that's exactly what was going on in Cana. Mary knew there was a situation that needed to be taken care of because mothers just know. Not only did she just know, she knew what to do next because the Bible says she carried it to Jesus. She carried that problem to him. I love the way Mary handles things in John 2. She walks up to Jesus and she says, "They have no wine." And Jesus replies to her, "Woman, what does that concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." Now, a lot of people have thought, what is Jesus doing here? Is he angry at his mother? Is he being disrespectful to his mother? What is going on? I think that Jesus says this with a twinkle in his eye because Jesus understood, just like the rest of us do, that mothers are great at running their children's lives. Even if that child is Jesus of Nazareth. She's coming to Jesus and she's saying, "Son, here's a situation. Now I expect you to do something with it." Mothers know best. And Mary understood that when you have a problem, a need, an opportunity, a decision, a situation, the first thing you need to do is carry it to Jesus. She knew what was wrong. She knew there was about to be a big problem. And she also knew what the next thing to do was. Bring it to Jesus and let him handle things. It was true in her day. It's true in our day. Whatever you're facing, bring it to Jesus. Talk to him about what's going on. Describe the problem you're facing. Ask for the wisdom you need. Ask him to show you how to respond to an opportunity. "Lord, I am facing a situation here and I need direction. Tell me what to do." Now that's true in all of life, but I think that's especially true sometimes in the midst of parenting your children. When you have situation, "I want to respond. I don't want to overreact. I don't want to underreact. God, I'm not sure what kind of wisdom to use here. Lord, I need some direction. Show me what to do. I am bringing it to you and saying to you, help. Help. I'm not sure quite what to do." And a godly mother knows when you bring something to the Lord, you're bringing it to the one who is able to step in and take over. Mary didn't come to Jesus and just share this with him as a matter of casual conversation. She brought it to him because she knew Jesus can do something about what's going on here. Because that's what he does. When you bring it to Jesus, he steps in and he takes control. He may change your circumstances. He may change your resources. He may change you, but he will help you. He will handle the situation. We bring it to Jesus, and then we wait to see what he's going to do about it after all of that is done. Bring it to Jesus. Remember what the Bible says? Cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. She saw the problem. She carried it to Jesus. The third thing, you trust him to handle it. What did Mary do next? She's come to Jesus. She said, here's the problem. Jesus has responded, my hour is not yet come. And she just turns around and she looks at the servants gathered around and she says to them, whatever he says to you, do it. Jesus is going to handle this. Whatever he says to you, do it. The mother of Jesus turned the entire situation over to Christ. She had no idea how to fix the situation. She had no idea how to meet this need. She couldn't see any way that was obvious in front of her where somehow this could be taken care of. But she knew this, I can turn it over to my son. I can turn it over to God's son. I can turn it over to Jesus. And so that's what she did. She just turned it over to the Lord. Heard a story once about a mother who was so concerned about her son. He had applied for a new job and it meant everything to him to get that job. And so she had prayed and prayed and prayed and doors hadn't opened and she had prayed and prayed some more. And finally, she got a stack of index cards and she wrote one letter on each card and she lined these cards across the mantle. And they read, let go and let God. Let go and let God. And every time she walked through that room, she reminded herself, that's what I've got to do. I keep trying to resolve this by myself, and I can't do it. It's going to take somebody a lot bigger than me. But somehow she just couldn't quite do that. And then one day she walked through the room, and she looked at the mantle, and a breeze had blown through the room, and some of the cards had blown down. And suddenly there was a whole new message. And you know what that message said? It said, let go. Let go. And that's what we need to do. We need to learn to let go. See, here's the biggest problem any of us face. It is that we come into a situation very much like the one that Mary brought her son into, and we give the situation to him, but then we snatch it back again. We release it to him, and then we take it back before we can act. We say, Lord, this is all up to you. Now here's what I'm going to do about it. God, I give it to you, but now I'm going to try to fix it all by myself. So many people who complain that the Lord never answered their prayers or met their needs never released it to the Lord to begin with. Oh, they talked to him about it, but they still assumed it is up to me to make this happen. It's almost like when a mother sends her daughter off to school for the first time. And it's the first time in her life that she's been away from home, the first time she's not under your direct influence. You know she's in a good school, you've met and you've approved of the teacher, and yet you struggle with letting go for the day. Every mom who's ever carried sent their first child off to school for that very first day remembers what it feels like. What's the greatest temptation? Every hour. I need to just drop by the school. Let me just see how things are going. Let me check on things. Let me make sure everything's okay. Let me listen and see if my child is crying. Let me make sure people are being good. Let's make sure there's no bullies in the room. Let me go by. And it's the hardest thing to let go and trust the care of your child into somebody else's hands. And the same thing is true when it comes to trusting the Lord. You want to let it go, but you keep snatching it back. You let it go, but then you snatch it back again. But here's what we learned from the wedding at Cana. Trust only works when you give it to him and let it go. When you bring it to him and release it into his care. Now, what does it take for you to be able to do that? Very simply, that can only happen when you're in a right relationship with Christ. It can only happen when you trust him so much that you can let something go and believe that he can and he will handle it. That's why the greatest gift any mother can give her children is to be in a right relationship with Christ. When you're in a right relationship with the Lord, you can teach them to be in a right relationship with the Lord. And that means when you have to put it into his hands, you can let it go. That's why you can't wait until a crisis strikes and then suddenly turn to Christ for help, because you don't know how to trust Him. You kind of know Him a little bit, but you don't know Him a lot. And you have to really trust Him. It would be almost, Kristen, like somebody walked up to you and said, "Hey, listen, let me have your baby for a little while. I promise I'll bring her back." Would you do it? Would you do it if it was your mom? Maybe. Would you do it if it were me? Double maybe. Would you do it if it was somebody you'd never met before or just barely knew? No, and same thing with the Lord. That's why we have to have that right relationship with Him. Because the day is going to come when you're going to need to turn something over to Him. And unless you know Him really well, and you have followed Him really closely, and you already know how to trust Him, it's going to be hard to let go when things are tough. It is coming to Christ that prepares you to trust Him. And Mary trusted Jesus to handle that situation. Now, how He did it was absolutely up to Him. And that leads to my last point this morning. And it is simply this. She brought it to Jesus, and then she left it with Him. After she came and had this conversation with Jesus, do you know what Mary did after that in that wedding at Cana? I don't either. The Bible doesn't say. The Bible says she brought the situation to Jesus, trusted Him to take care of it, and just walked serenely away. Handle it, son. Handle it. And she didn't care what He did or how He did it. She just knew who would fix things. Her son, God's son, Jesus. And when you make a habit of surrendering everything to Jesus, whether it's your children or your home or your marriage or your life, you know you can trust the Lord to handle it. If the Lord is the Lord of your home, you can trust Him. And that's His challenge to us. Place your life in the hands of Jesus and leave it there with Him. Centered on Christ, trusting Him in all your ways, living as a woman, as a man, as a youth, as a child of faith. Trust Him to handle it. Lord, I'm not sure what to do, how to react. I don't know what to do with this opportunity or this challenge. I don't know what to do with this obstacle or this pain. So I'm going to give it to You. And I'm going to trust You to do exactly what is right. And I'm just going to wait for You to show me what to do next. I will trust the Lord. So let me ask you a question this morning. Mothers, fathers, anyone here. Have you come to that point in your life where you've trusted everything to Jesus? You know, it begins with that personal relationship, that right relationship with Him, where you come to Christ and you say, "I know I don't have a relationship with Him, with You, and I want that more than anything in the world. I want to trust You as my Savior. I want to follow You as my Lord. I want to be a part of Your kingdom. Come into my heart. Wash me clean and help me, Lord, to begin again." Maybe today you're here and that's exactly what you need to do. Or maybe you're here today and you know this is where God wants you to serve Him. First Baptist Church is the place where God is planting you. And this is a church family where you're going to learn how to trust Him and follow Him in all the ways of your life. Or maybe you're here today and you're thinking, you know, I know Him, but I don't trust Him, not the way I ought to. And the truth is, sometimes the only time I turn to Him is when I'm in trouble. And I just need to get back to a steady relationship with Jesus. And starting here, starting now, that's the commitment that I am making to the Lord. Is there a decision you need to make today? In just a minute, we're going to stand and we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. And if the Lord's guiding you to trust Christ, Rich and I will be here at the front. We'd be glad to meet you. If you want to be part of who we are, We'll be glad to welcome you. If there's a decision the Lord wants you to make as a believer, you can come to us. You can come to the altars. You can do work with God. The Lord's speaking to you. You come today. Let's stand together. Let's sing our invitation hymn.